Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The rate of inflation has fallen to 8.7% in April from 10.1% in March. Meanwhile, Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey says rising prices do need to be tackled.
We share the concern. We share the concern of your constituents. There is no good comes of this, and we've got to get on top of it, and we've got to bring inflation back down to target.
Officers are continuing to search a reservoir in Portugal in the investigation into the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. A track leading to the search area has been cordoned off. A woman who was hit by a motorcycle that was part of the Duchess of Edinburgh's police escort has died. 81-year-old Helen Holland was struck in Earl's Court on the 10th of May. And Netflix has begun its crackdown on UK and US subscribers who are sharing their password with people who live outside of their household. The company says accounts are for use by one household only. They lost subscribers last year amid increasing competition. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Andy Hoyle.
Imagine ordering a pizza.
I'll have a quattro formaggi, please. Oh, and some garlic dip.
But before it arrives at your door, the price has gone up.
Wait, how much? You what?
Unlike most other networks, Sky Mobile won't hit you with mid-contract price rises, so you avoid the unexpected. Sky Mobile. Hello, possible.
Data plan price fixed for your 12-month minimum term. See sky.com/comparison. Terms apply.
Coming up, The Business Mix Show.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The Business Mix Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, and a very good evening to you all, and welcome to The Business Mix. My name is Chrissy.
And welcome to The Business Mix. My name is Rachel, and welcome to another roundup of all things Black business as we join you on your entrepreneurial journey this week, which has been full of royal cheer and
festivities
and swearing at the king. I mean,
hurrah!
all that good stuff. How was it for you, Chris?
It was fine. I dipped in and out. We had it on TV. Had a bit of afternoon tea just to have afternoon tea. But yeah, I watched in, checked in and made sure Harry was there. and all that jazz. I missed the concert, though. Did you watch the concert?
I did not. I would be lying.
I missed Tate That. I wish I'd seen the Tate That.
I mean, we have
Lionel
player.
Richie.
We have our
yes,
player.
We do. So we do. I could go back and watch it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tate That and Lionel Richie, I would have liked to have seen. But hey, yeah. Yes, we have our player.
Kira Savage was there too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She all was right, there. Sorry. I don't get it, but she was all there right. too.
Yeah.
But yeah. I guess she's the queen of Afrobeats, isn't she? Maybe.
Well, we've got the King of England meets the Queen of Afrobeat. So
there
I mean,
go.
It
Why
sounds
not?
About right.
But keeping with right. the royal theme, I have been watching Queen Charlotte. Have you watched it? I know you're a fan of Bridgerton. Have you watched Queen? Started watching Queen Charlotte yet? No.
I'll be completely honest. I fell off on the last. The first season was great. I watched like maybe 2 or 3 episodes of the second season, and then I don't know what happened, but I never got back to it. And so now I've just heard that there's a third series out, and I'm like, can't they just slow down? I haven't caught
Did you
up
get Bridgerton,
but I probably will.
It'll
be one of those. Yeah, I think it was novel at first, wasn't it? There was a novelty kind of factor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one, I don't know, maybe it wasn't as enticing as the first one, as the first series for me. But I will get back into it. Bridgerton is going to be like, you know, one of those weekends where you've got absolutely zero to do. And you just lie in bed eating chocolate digestive biscuit, watching Bridgerton, basically. Yeah. Why
I hope
not?
You get into it. I've started, so we can catch up over a hot cup
All
of
right.
tea and a sandwich
no problem.
Later
yeah,
on with that. But anyway, let's get on. This week, we have our dear friends, our venture into everything shopping, I guess.
Everything retail.
Retail, absolutely.
Money, creativity, products and services, self-development, you name it. We have our very own queen of shopping, the masked shopper, here again this month. Hello, masked shopper.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
We are good.
Hi,
we are
how
good.
Are you doing?
Well, I can't complain. I've had an eventful, bustling month or few weeks, so it's all good. So I was quite nice to have the bank holiday to chillax a bit and take in a bit of... I don't know, pomp and pageantry, like, you know, us British do best. So yeah, it's been a nice chilled weekend. I can't say I took in too much of the coronation, just bits and bobs, but yeah, it was just nice just to get the time off. I wish that we had a Friday off. That would have been really nice, but
that would have been beautiful, but
yeah
beggars can't be choosers, can we?
I feel like we shouldn't
beggars.
Be beggars. Yeah,
we're not beggars.
We're not beggars. we're talking about entitlement here. I feel like if the mood was more people was all celebratory and welcoming of the coronation, they probably would have given us a whole week off. So probably our own moaning meant that they only gave us like 3 days, but one day, I guess. So yeah, but hey ho, we are where we are.
We do have another bank holiday at the end of the month, so
yeah, but that's statutory anyway. that's statutory anyway.
I know. I feel like we've been... I really would like to know, entrepreneurs out there, do you work on bank holidays? Do bank holidays mean like bank holiday, day off to you? Or do you see it as, right, I can get some stuff done because I'm not going to get bugged by everybody else who's not at work? Or, yeah, interesting.
But I think if you think that some of the entrepreneurs probably will be out and about, their products are in stores and stuff like that, they're probably still selling online. So I'd imagine that, you know, they would still be. I think the issue would be is if things shut down and they can't generate sales, I think that's where there's going to be massive impact for them. Interesting point. Answers on a postcard.
Yes. We'll probably do
the DM.
Yeah.
We will. So this month, what has been happening in the world of the Mars Shopper?
Quite a bit, actually. Do you know, I don't know about you guys, but I felt like this month just literally just ran away with me. So the month of April just literally ran away with me, and here we are. But yeah, it's been really, really busy. A mixture of things that I've done and businesses that I've patronized and things like that. So shall I kick start in terms of where I've been,
please,
and who I've been spending my money with?
Yes,
so Earth Organics. Now, I came across this product somewhere on, I can't remember who, but someone asked me a question, do I know any brands that does skincare? And I was about to recommend like care brands and stuff like that, but I couldn't actually recall if I had one that specifically that I would really recommend for skincare. So it was only, I saw this on Instagram. So I bought some of their products. It looks really good. The reviews look really good. So I haven't actually used it yet. It arrived, but I haven't actually used it. But I bought a little kind of like discovery kit, which I really like these discovery kits from brands, rather than you having to spend an inordinate amount of money on the full size products.
Yeah.
Actually sending them in like mini tester kind, or slightly bigger than tester size, allows me to kind of just test it, see if I like it, what I like, what I don't like. So I think that's really helpful. So that's one of the brands, and I haven't used it yet, but I will do. So a few weeks ago, I was sent a link. So lots of people now send me stuff, and they don't know I'm the Mars Shopper, but they send me stuff anyway. They send me links to, oh, have you seen this black business? So someone I knew sent me a WhatsApp message with this pop-up event that wasn't far from where I lived. And actually, I came out the gym and it wasn't really that far from where I was. So I popped in. And I don't know about you guys, but I love creative people. I just think that there's something quite therapeutic about someone who can see an image and create it in its truest form, and it looks like that. So if I was asked to draw a person, best believe you'll get a stick man at best, maybe with some straw hair. But but went to this pop-up event in East London, organized by an organization called Ageless Teenagers. And one of the first brands that I saw was this lady called Millie Lou. Oh, the business was called Millie Lou. And basically what she does is create really beautiful artwork and then transfers it into kind of like journals and stationery and cards. So I bought a couple of the journals because I'm actually running out of journals. So that was really nice. So that's Millie Lou, and really affordable as well. And the thing I liked about speaking to her and just, you know, just engaging with her is just hearing the story of how her business came to fall when she started it. It's very much kind of like a pandemic business. And then the other thing is that she's obviously been creative all her life, very good at school, and she talked about that, but she'd never really used her creativity in the form of a business. So all of this is now kind of coming to the fore, and obviously she's creating a really nice product. So it's really nice to be part of that journey, hear her story. And I think that's really one of the plus things about small businesses, especially like the micro and those independent entrepreneurs, is the fact that you get to speak to them and you really get to hear their journey.
Absolutely.
So that was really nice. So that was quite a bit fulfilling after a, you know, a day of a few hours of yoga. That just set me on the right track. Mm-hmm. That did. One other brand that I just stumbled upon in Stratford Westfield. So Stratford Westfield seem to be opening up a lot of their ground floor level next to Hugo Boss, because that's the reference point that I always see with all these brands that are now pitching up their pop-ups near there. And there's three kind of like black owned pop-up shops there. So one is Black Pound A. The other is what's it called? Inside Out. And the other is Fashion Meets Music. So I stumbled upon Inside Out. Number one, I saw it published. I saw them being interviewed on BBC News, and then it was literally just by accident I actually came across the store and I went in. And then I was able to speak to the founder and the owner, and he told me the whole narrative of the story, which essentially the store aims to really fascinating. The store aims to support ex-offenders by giving them training and access to retail environment, so that they can learn a new skill, but also they can design some of the products and sell them in the store. And it was really, really just nice vibe, really good customer service, really quite chilled. So that was really just nice to see as well. So so I got a jumper from there, which has kept me warm over these cold months, because this cold weather don't want to seem to be letting up, right? So that was that. And then a little bit of kind of cultural infusion. My friend sent me a last minute invite to see Rye Lane.
I'm yet to see that.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's really interesting because I normally don't actively look out for kind of independent films made and things like that. So she really just opened my eyes to it, and she sent me this link. And off we trotted to Stratford East. And yeah, it was really good. A really good love story. Well made. Funny. And it just makes you think, how talented are the young people within our community that just aren't given the opportunity for visibility. And these two, like the lead actors, they were like really phenomenal. And it just makes me think, how many more are we missing because they're not given that opportunity? It had a bit of everything. It had a bit of laughter, it had love, it had a bit of nostalgia. It just was a great, 2 hours spent indulging in a bit of black youth culture. So yeah, that was really
good. Is it like a feel good at the end? Has it got that feel good?
It was like literally it was like a melee of so much, but it's so many different emotions, shall I say. But yeah, definitely feel good. It's the love story that ends on a positive. They find each other, they connect, and they realize that they are meant for each other. They go through trials and tribulations, and they navigate each other through it, through breakups, and that's the thing that actually brings them together. It's this shared experience of breaking up with their partners, both in kind of acrimonious kind of settings, but it's how they supported each other. And I think the other powerful narrative of this was a black male and a black female showing it as just normal love, and just one and both of them having each other's back. And I think that's such a powerful message amongst all the humor and the jovial nature and the storytelling and the nostalgia. Actually, at the core of it is two people that have found love through a mutual, obstacle or challenge that they've both overcome, and how they supported each other to navigate that. And I think that's something that we can all just resonate with in life. So so I went there through the lens of, this is going to be for, black people, but actually it isn't. It's a story that resonates with just people who find themselves in that situation. And I think that just pays homage to the fact that the black experience isn't that isolated from just a human experience, and somehow it's been distinguished from as an other. But actually, we feel the same thing. We go through the same issues. We probably maybe navigate it slightly differently, but it's still the same issues. So I think that was really, it was well done, well filmed, well acted, just really, really good. And it's a good few hours spent out. But can I just say, like, stuff in cinemas are really expensive. It's so expensive. Yes. I was just like, what? Why?
Just to sneak your popcorn in your bag and a little drink.
Well, you think, right? I think this is where I need to be a bit more organized, Chrissy, honestly. I think out of protest, what did I buy? I think I bought the cheapest thing there, maybe like water or something like that. But yeah, I was so aggrieved that they'd, you know, I had to pay like £3 something for something. I'm sure it's like a drink or something like that in a bottle. Anyway, mm-hmm. whatever it was, I begrudged paying for it. That's for sure.
I mean, yeah. Going out to the cinema, make sure if you're planning to eat there, because you know you've got the Lux and you've got the Everyman's and you've got, you know, where you can go for a meal and then, you know, you get your two seats next to each other and the kind of thing. I mean, you're not spending anything less than, for two of you, probably a good 60, 70, maybe even more pounds.
Yeah, I feel sorry for these young kids out here. I mean, you know, back in our day.
Well, this is why they're going to Hakkasan and all these places, because they're like, well, I may as well spend my money here than watching something that they probably watch online anyway.
Yeah, it's true. or back in our day, DVD.
Yeah. Remember those? A couple of weeks you can buy it in Tesco for $12.99.
Poor DVD quality. And then finally, which and something I've been looking forward to, which got really, really good rave reviews, really great publicity. And so when I went to buy the tickets for me and my friend, they were so scarce. And actually, when we actually went to see it, it was packed to the brim, was for Black Boys When the Hue Gets Too Heavy.
I hope they bring it back.
Oh my, it's still on, I think it's on to like the latter stages of this
I think yesterday was the last day.
I'm glad I got to see it. It was amazing, and quite frankly it's something I would have gone to watch again and just get better seats in, like in the midst of it, like in the front of it. The acting, the singing, the humor, the writing, just everything about it. Even like the, as you were waiting for it to start, they had a really good soundtrack, so playing all of these kind of commercial musics by, I don't know, all the artists. I mean, one that's kind of like Stormzy and all of those, like those artists. It was like a concert before it started. And it was, the vibe in there was just amazing. And you know, as you know, I kind of felt it was going to be a good evening when I was made to queue literally round the block to get in. Now, in my naivety, I'm thinking, my friends had already arrived. So I said, I'm just 2 minutes away. I'll see you in a minute. No. You know, like when you see the queue and you're thinking, first of all, you look up to see if you're at the right cinema. And then you start following the queue along and you're like, why am I going past one whole side of the building and then another side of the building? Where does this queue end? So finally got in, but the queue did move quite quickly, to be fair. But yeah, an amazing show. It was like talent personified. The singing was just an extra bonus. I just thought I was just going to go and get a show where, you know, you'll have these Black boys talking about their stories and the different experiences. And I liked how they broke it down into bite-sized segments, so it's quite relatable. Audience was mixed, age-wise, culture-wise. It's really interesting because who I was sat next to were these two older white ladies, and you just know some of the cultural references that they didn't get, but because everyone else was laughing, there was like a little time lapse delay on their laughing and their kind of interaction. But no, an amazing show. And yeah, I hope they need to bring it back. They need to bring it back in a bigger cinema. Bigger theatre. And a theatre with more leg room, because I'm quite small. And so it was quite cosy, shall I say, in there. Right. And so, but no. Amazing.
We need a longer run and longer leg room, please.
I love that. Longer run.
It will be back. I have a feeling it will be back. I mean, it's gone. It's been. It was in. What's the theatre in Sloane Square? I've forgotten what it's called now. But there's a theatre there where it was initially, and that was really low key. Then it moved for this run, and I from the feedback that everybody, I've not heard anybody say a bad or negative thing about this production, not one. So I have a feeling it will most definitely be back, and I think we need to get more of our young people watching it, going to watch it, because I think it's just going to open up so many doors of conversation and connection, and that's what we need.
And it was really enlightening then, because as a female, I don't know these conversation goes on in,
of course,
you know, in these male groups and these friendships and things like that. So it's really enlightening to hear the different conversations and you know, their experiences and how they see it through their lenses and just all of those things. So I did at the end, they were selling programs or kind of like the script, which I've never known for a production to sell the script. But
sell scripts,
they're really, really smart. So I got one of those, and I'm gonna gift it to my nephew, because I think it's important that he's exposed to these kind of conversations and these kind of cultural environments and things like that. So
culture
all unexpected, but all good. I'm exhausted just giving you the recap.
I'm exhausted by listening.
you can't have a month off because we need you back next month, so
maybe I'll just like do it from the Caribbean, and maybe that's it. I'll travel by Caribbean Airlines, and that'll be it. They'll be like,
every business will pretty much be a black business then, in that sense.
So next up, so I thought I'll bring, you know, every month whenever we do convene, there's kind of a twist to our gathering. So this week I thought, let's play a little game.
We're all up for a game.
You're all up for a game. It's kind of, it's just a little simple game, but I've themed it Black In or Black Out. The premise of it. Okay, let me land, ladies. Leave me. So the premise of it is really about actually who those black businesses out there who, without a bit of delving and a bit of investigation, who really owns black-owned businesses?
Okay.
So it's a light game. It's nothing too kind of heavy or anything like that. So I've got a list of, I've got five businesses, and you tell me if they're black-owned, that means they're black-owned.
Oh, God.
Or if they're black-out, that means they're not black-owned. Yeah?
Okay. Okay. All right. Cool. We can do it.
Okay, so...
Can we call a friend?
No friends. And no Googling. You can't call Google either. So let's start. Are you ready?
Yes, ready.
Let's go.
Pat Cosmetics.
Black out.
Oh, you said that with venom, Rachel.
I feel it's black out.
Yes, blackout.
Yes, you would be correct. It is blackout. Okay. Afrocentric.
Black in.
Yay! Those fabulous two ladies. Yay! Well done. Hoodrich.
What's that?
Hoodrich.
Black in.
I've never heard of them. This is.
Oh, you're old, Chris. You need to get some teenagers in your life.
Maybe.
How have you not seen people wear Hoodrich? Like
Hoodrich.
No,
I really haven't.
Have you been into Foot Locker? Is JD Syllabore about all of those kind of well-known sports brands?
All right, ladies, you're making me feel old. I get it. I'm not with it.
Okay, so now you just have to take a guess: Black In or Black Out?
Yeah, I'm gonna say Black Out.
Oh, it's Black In.
Yeah, I do know this young. I can't remember his name, but he went to I can't remember the name of the college now. Can't remember. Just forget it. But
I think it was like in the Midlands, isn't it? It was founded by a young boy somewhere in the Midlands, or
He's still quite young.
Yeah, very young. Yeah, really, really young. Oh. I can't remember his name, but yeah, really young, really successful, doing amazing things.
Rich. Hood Rich.
Hood Rich. Hood Rich.
I'm gonna buy you a Hood Rich hoodie now. Yeah? And you're gonna wear it with pride and you're gonna be like the young ones and be like, yeah.
Nice. Like it.
Okay, cool. Cantu.
Oh. Blackout.
Blackouts, yeah.
Yep, blackout.
And then it used to be Black Inn.
Yeah, so it used to be Black Inn. but now it's Blackout. And then finally, Sundial Brand.
Sundial? What's
Sundial Brands.
I'm not sure what Sundial is. What's Sundial? What's the brand?
So basically, it's an umbrella company for a number of.
Okay.
I got it wrong last time, so I'm gonna say Black Inn. Then I did Blackout.
I will say Blackout. I'll just okay. The opposite of
you. Okay, so one of you will be right. So, okay, if I now give you some of the brands that sit underneath it, do you want to keep your answer or do you want to change it? So, I'm going to start with Nubian Heritage.
I mean, it sounds like a Black Inn.
Okay, Madam CJ Walker.
Oh.
I mean, that would have to be a Black Inn.
Okay, and I'm going to finish with Shea Moisture.
Black Cat. I'm sticking.
Okay. So what did you say, Chrissy?
I said Black Inn, because I said Blackout. Okay, oh, gosh, Shea Moisture.
Stick or twist.
All right, I'm gonna stick. I'm gonna say Black Inn. I'll stick with
Chrissy says Black Inn, and Rach.
I'll stick with my original
Blackout.
Black Inn. So, my Blackout.
Yeah,
no, you were opposite.
Opposite. Okay, lady.
No, Chrissy. But you said Black. Okay, I don't know. Are they black or not? Like, where are we going?
I'm so, not. In 2017, they were acquired by Unilever.
Oh, well done, Rachel.
So they're blackout. So Rachel, you're the winner. I think it's 4-2. Oh. Yeah.
What do I win?
Oh, just bragging rights.
Oh, okay. I'll take that.
Bragging rights.
Go on. Only till next month, please. Thank you.
Okay, so like we'll have to do a scoreboard.
Yes, I think so.
Well done, guys. Well done. Give yourself a round of applause. That was a bit of fun there and a bit of knowledge acquisition about who owns our brands that we're patronizing or presume to be black owned. Yeah. Who are our coins really going to? So, thanks for the participation.
It brings a conversation about, is it that these people have bought, they've sold these happily and wanted to expand and leave? Because I think, was it Pink Moisture? Remember that old pink lotion?
Yeah.
I'm sure I read somewhere, you know, that it was obviously Becca and then bigger corporation bought out.
I mean, there is some... a discussion to be had about levels of success that you reach to with, you've built up a brand, you've got great products or services and you sell, you know, you should always have, I guess, some sort of exit strategy for your business, whether that's going to be handing it down as a legacy to, and you know, keeping it within your family, or you're going to get bought out by a bigger player. But yeah, I guess there's a conversation to be had about how do we keep that wealth within our community? And is it a sellout to sell out, as it were? Or is it actually it's a next rung on the ladder? Because for some people, the profit that they're going to make from, you know, somebody buying their business could help them to start a new venture.
Absolutely.
you know, invest in maybe some of their children's businesses or community businesses. So I guess there's always swings and roundabouts with these things, and I'm sure there are people that are not sitting on the fence and are like, yes, it's great, or no, it shouldn't happen, but that's business, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess there's a massive divide in that, I think. I think for me it's when you start a business that's based on culture, especially when it comes to like Black products, then it isn't just the fact that it's the Black owner, it's the integrity of the products that you're using. And I think it's, if that goes alongside the ownership of it, then it almost leaves the integrity of that product. That product also loses its integrity. So, you know, one of the reasons when I started talking about some of the products that I bought was because actually I'm getting much more value for money out of it. You can feel the quality of the ingredients.
Yeah.
And actually it's yielding a lot more, it's been a lot more beneficial for me. And I think the issue is once it starts getting into mass market, to be able to deliver at scale and to keep prices at affordable for that audience, something has to give. And I think when certain people start a business based on community, culture, then all of that disappears when that figurehead that you invested into and all of the kind of spiel and marketing that they used to get you on board and to convert is now being... it's almost disappeared to a certain degree, and so you have to restart your journey, or I have to restart my journey and finding a new brand that I can trust. But then, and all of those things. So I think there's a lot more emotion when a Black business starts a business because they're generally solving a problem,
absolutely,
for their community. So I get the monetary and the wealth element of it, and maybe there's something to be said about us having our own wealth structure so that a business doesn't have to sell out of its community.
Yes,
so I think that's possibly kind of, so then, you know, for me, I think that would be the ideal solution. But yeah, I think, you know, that's just my contribution.
No, I think you're completely 100% correct. And I was going to go on to say, like, that would be the absolute pinnacle ideal, is that we have our own Unilever or version of, maybe we do out there, I just don't know about it, who can acquire these businesses, but as you say, not dilute the integrity and the for want of better word, the how can I put it, not the value but the quality, I guess, of the products, which kind of also led me on when you were talking about some skincare. Somebody was asking about skincare products. I just want to give a shout out to Oil of Nature, who were on our show last week with Marnie Mob. Indulge Skincare and Good Natured Skincare, who are three fantastic Black-owned skincare companies and brands who people should definitely check out. They are all organic. They are all handmade, all natural ingredients as well. So
they're on the list. They're
Fixed
on the list.
Yes.
They're now on the list, Rachel. Cool. So finally, I feel like we're going to have to do this through Whistle Stop.
Go on.
A couple of the stores that I mentioned earlier, so the pop-up one that I went to and also kind of Stratford Westfield, I feel like there is a new surgence of businesses that are wanting to trade on the high street. They've, you know, got a decent following and now they want the visibility of the high street, and brands are like, you know, shops like Westfield and stuff like that, they're becoming aware of this. So my question is all pop-up space the right pop-up space, and when should you say no? And the reason why I say that is because specifically the pop-up one that I went to for Ageless Teenagers, you know, got there, managed to meet some really friendly and lovely business owners. However, it was an absolute nightmare to try and locate it. And, you know, I put on my Google Maps and Google couldn't find anything. And in the end, I had to end up asking the cleaner where this place was. So I just wondered, at what point should we say no to pop-up spaces? And who actually is it doing a favor? Is it doing the landlord a favor that they're ticking a box to say, yeah, we're doing something for the community? Or is any space good space? So just as a topic of discussion, throwing it out there, welcome your thoughts.
No.
I'm gonna let Chrissy answer. She's the market queen.
Not
so
every space is a good space. I say this very loudly. I've had occasions with my own business where I've gone, oh, it's a pop-up, it looks really good. And half of it is my fault. I haven't done enough research about the area, footfall and stuff. And I've gone, and I've just gone, what on earth?
Why? What do you see? What is it that you're seeing or
experiencing? So it's where it's located and how far it is. So I'm thinking about footfall. But also when you go inside and they've crammed as many people, as many vendors as possible into this space, and it doesn't make the experience nice. It looks more of a car boot sale than anything else.
Right, okay.
Let me say that. But I've had some really good experiences with well-known pop-ups, and it's worked well. I think pop-ups work are more for the benefit of probably commercial owners, where they haven't been able to fill the space and someone can do it really quickly and they can generate the money. I'm very much for pop-ups. I think it's because it's a bugbear of mine to see derelict units. So I think I'm very much in favour of them. But I think as vendors, for one, we shouldn't be saying yes to all pop-ups. That's a no from me.
Wow. I'm probably the same, just as much as I don't think that any space is good for a retail space, or any space is going to be good to be a creche, or any space is going to be good to be an office block or gym. I think... Each kind of sector or each usage will have its own needs. And I think, as you said, Chris, things like accessibility, like how far is it from the nearest train station or bus stop, or, you know, do you need a car to get there? Is there parking? Is there, as you said, like how big or small is it? Do people even walk past it or go past this place? Has it been is it well signposted? And then you've got the facilities inside the pop-up. So are there plug sockets? Is it warm? Is it too hot? Is it, you know, all these things, as you said, how easy is it to maneuver around? You need all these things in there to make it advantageous to be a pop-up. And I guess I have a little bit of a bugbear of places that get called pop-ups. Like, can anything be called a pop-up nowadays? Like, is it just, is it literally popped up? So that makes it a pop-up. Like, I'm wondering, are there some like standard, you know, you must have this, yet tick, this can be a pop-up. There's some pop-ups that are at the same place every week, every month. Is that still a pop-up?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think some pop-ups are there for a period of time, whether it be 6 months.
Yeah.
And then they'll be gone again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, I do get there are a lot of, as you said, there's a lot of unused space. And I'm a fan of these, you know, quote unquote, what they call meanwhile spaces, in whilst they're figuring out what they're going to do with it, or the not quite ready to take it on yet. Yeah, let's utilize it. Let's make it something that is going to be beneficial for the community and beneficial for the local economy, as it were. But let's just make sure that the space is fit for purpose, because I wonder, do a lot of pop-up organisers, do they really understand and I guess have the awareness that it's costing people money to come out and to put, you know, to be a vendor, to be a market vendor. And it's not just paying for the space to get paying for the space, the vendor space, it's getting there, it's making sure you've got all the right products in time, it's making sure you've got your marketing, it's making sure that you've done, you know, that the person spent time doing their socials and shouting out about where they're going to be. So there's a lot that goes into it. I don't necessarily do markets, but I see the behind the scenes for a lot of people that I kind of know and that I work with who do go and sell at pop-ups. And so it's quite disheartening when you can see that they've put all this time and effort into it, and the, I guess, the experience for them is not what has been necessarily, it's not as sold or not as promised. So,
yeah.
What about you, Marsh Shopper? Are you a yes or a no? Any space is a good space?
No. No, I think, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's expensive to even do a pop-up. And it's an investment, not just in terms of like money, but your time. It takes, you know, there's a huge amount of mind power that goes into preparing yourself to go and to actually participate in a pop-up. And you have to have multiple hats on for those seminal few hours of the day. And so I do think that possibly the onus should be maybe on the businesses, not necessarily just the pop-up vendors, but also the businesses who are participating, to be quite selective and have their own criteria in terms of actually location. And, you know, we hear location, location, location for everything else. Why do we kind of ignore it when it comes to our business? True. You know, in terms of, you know, track record of that pop-up as well. Do they have any? Also, what, and I think Chrissy, you mentioned it, what kind of, you know, back office work are they doing behind the scenes? Are they helping to promote it and amplify it so that at least the premise or the idea around that is that trying to get people to generate revenue so that they will then keep following you because you're seen as a trusted pop-up agent to get into the right spaces, generate revenue, bring in footfall, create interest. And so ultimately it's a relationship, but it's a cyclical thing, isn't it? In terms of, I can take you to places that will help you generate money, put you in front of your consumers, and in doing so you will come back to me because I deliver. And so I feel it's that transaction that's sometimes going amiss. But also I think small businesses have got so much power. And I don't think they actually realise it, and I certainly don't believe that they're yielding it, because these big corporates with their meanwhile spaces, small businesses are essentially doing them a favour. It's kind, it's like, you know, I akin it to communities where they, like, if we look in kind of like the Windrush generation and pre-Windrush, when they put certain communities in certain areas because they were dilapidated and there was not a lot of investment, and then they brought culture, they brought footfall, they brought interest, they brought activity, animation to those spaces, and then lo and behold, the value of that space then increases. And then they want to take it back and then shun you onto the new space. So small businesses are creating the vibe in these areas. And so I feel they need to really recognize where their strength is and negotiate better for better spaces and realize their value in terms of increasing the value of those locations. But I think there's a negotiation discussion that needs to be had at really kind of granular level when they're taking on these spaces, and really owning that the asset that they have, because they have a tribe. Those small businesses, they have a tribe. They've built up their little network. The network wants to see them thrive, so they will go and find them. They can shout about it on their social. So imagine a pop-up space with, I don't know, 10 vendors, and they're all talking about this one location. They're all doing events together and they're bringing people down.
Yeah.
The biggest winner in that is the actual location, is the actual you know, event space or whatever it is. That's the one, because that's where people are going to. So I think there's something around that I do believe that small businesses really do need to really look at what value they're bringing to local areas when they agree to pop up, and then how they can use that as a negotiating tool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but 100%, I don't believe all pop-up spaces are the best, are the right ones. And sometimes you almost want to tell those managing agents, you find something to do with it, because I'm not putting my products in here. Yeah, so yeah, so I guess that's kind of my rant on that topic, to be fair. But yeah, it was just, I feel like I was just really jarred about it because it took me a good like 15 minutes to find this location. And I thought, well, I'm going to bring this to the table or to the chat, when our discussion when we meet. So yeah.
Well, leading on from that, I actually this week last week saw a great workshop. So for anybody who's a market vendor, who you sell at pop-up spaces or events, it's run by an organization called SASB Events, and it's called How to Win at Pop-Ups. So it's a workshop seminar, How to Win at Pop-Ups, which is taking place on the 19th of May. So that will be next week, Friday. And just looking at the, at a bargain, it's £9. So I can't think you're
bargain
too much. Absolutely. And it's our friend Natalie from 13 Rhythms who will be leading this session. But I was just looking at some of the topics that they're going to be running through. So during the workshop, what will be covered? How to win at pop-ups, how to maximize your sales, how to price for profit, how to turn your browsers into actual buyers, the essential things you need to be ready for a pop-up, when you should say no to a pop-up. I think we need to arm ourselves with that empowerment, basically, to know when, just like, you know, as entrepreneurs, freelancers, it's not every client you have to say yes to. I guess it's the same. Not every pop-up you need to say yes to. How to present your space, make it attractive, how to, you know, present your special offers and bundles and all those kind of things. Yeah, it's amazing. Even if you go to sasbevents.com, we'll put the details up as well on our socials to help you guys to get your tickets. But it just sounds amazing. And yeah, if there's, and as we know, summertime's coming, so there's going to be a lot more,
lots
the markets and those kind of opportunities. So if you can arm yourselves with some extra skills and knowledge on that, I think that'd definitely help us out.
Is it virtual? Oh no, it's a physical one.
It's in person. It is in East London, if I remember correctly.
But yes, make your way to make your way, get your ticket and travel to East London. It'll be worth it.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. That's really, really good. I feel like I'm going to get a ticket to it as well because it sounds just right up my street, to be fair.
Amazing.
I've just did a bit of a search and it's called Support a Small Business Event. So that's what that is.
Support Small Business Events. Lovely.
Excellent. Thank we you. Love that, don't we?
Thank you. And is that our roundup for the week?
That is.
Not even for the week, for the whole month. Well, I feel like we've got through so much.
Can I just say, actually, I did forget to mention Black Business Recommendation Awards, but we can cover that next time, like awards and things like that. We can cover that next time.
Yes. Put it in your diary that we must cover that for next time.
I'm going to say big up to Nicola Millington, who won an award for her amazing, wonderful PR agency, whose name escaped me, for FP Comms. Yes, FP Comms.
That's the one.
Well done. Congratulations. That was it. Sorry.
You shout.
We'll do a full rundown of the event next
Yes, time. We must. So thank you, Mars Shopper. Thank you for everything for this month. And we look forward to seeing you again next month.
Lovely to catch up with you ladies as always. Yeah. Have a good week.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you, Miss Christine Addy, for another amazing week on the airwaves, as always, keeping it colourful.
Thank you for being my co-host today, as always. And I shall see you and everyone else next week. Keep it colourful.
The Business Mix Show.
Go outside. Big time forward. The star boy there, so. Came into the game, no one replaced me.
Me love mine, I see straight, me no chaser. All of my guys know me all about me paper. Me got me girls all around me, me no chaser. Yeah, star boy call me number one. When me tune drop, the girls they bounce along. Me no let nothing come between me and me paper. So when me come in, I place me undertaker. Yeah, yeah. Become clean like me coming on me video. Make me come through like a soldier. She give me tea and she pleasing my rosa. She got the keys to my Porsche on my Rover. We in Miami living la vida loca. Yeah, yeah, you got the teen, I know. You got the body, I know. You make me sing, I know. You make me sing, I know.